What we are looking at in a sense here, and this is the interest of the Pope going to Ephesus, we are really at the heart of the articulation of the meaning of the Christian faith, centered on the meaning of Christ as true God and true man, and the role that the mother of Jesus played in that.
Ephesus. It's a place known to Christians since the very earliest times. The city's associations with all that is deepest and most important to our beliefs make it impossible that Pope Benedict could visit Turkey without including Ephesus in his itinerary. Yet why was it that Christianity planted its roots so rapidly and deeply in Ephesus so soon after Pentecost and the birth of the Church? Father Richard Taylor, a New Testament scholar who teaches at the Pontifical Beda College, the Angelicum, and several other colleges around Rome, explains.
In the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul is described as having spent something like 2.5 years in Ephesus. And why Ephesus? Because it was the third most important city in the Roman Empire. It had a population of about 250,000. So after Rome and Alexandria, its importance is perfectly clear. Also extremely well situated because it's the confluence of the two major roads in the east and on the sea in those days, so that it was extremely rich, powerful, highly cultivated, and excellent for communicating the gospel. So Paul was in a place that he knew was highly cultivated and with ready communications with the whole of the then known Roman world. So that's why it was of great importance in that particular time.
When Paul travelled to Ephesus, he went to a place where there was a rich tapestry of worship, but to pagan gods and goddesses, and especially to the huntress Diana.
Culturally, of course, it was again of supreme importance. The buildings in Ephesus numbered so many, among which was the famous temple of Diana, which was regarded, at least by some people, as among the seven wonders of the world, better even than the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. So you can appreciate that in those days, Ephesus certainly was a point of great importance.
But Paul's presence was controversial, challenging not only an important cult of his time, but also the pockets of those who made money as a result of the worship offered to Diana.
The cult of Diana was one of the major cults in the Mediterranean locality at that time. It was so important that the Ephesians were able to boast that their Diana was also worshipped in other cities, so that she was, in fact, a cult figure that had, shall we say, more of a universal reach than one might have imagined if one hadn't actually been able to check this out in fact. So when Paul comes into Ephesus and he now is presenting the Christian faith the way that it is, of course the danger for the people who are engaged in the worship of Diana is that they lose not only their cult figure, but the people who are associated with making money out of everything that goes with a shrine that is a pilgrimage shrine. They then felt that they were economically in danger. So that was one of the reasons that Paul was certainly persona non grata among a lot of the populace there who were afraid of losing their livelihood because of his presence.
Paul's confrontation of pagan worship is not the only reason why Ephesus is so important to Christianity, as Father Taylor explains.
Then the next reason for knowing that Ephesus was extremely important is because there's an epistle to the Ephesians. And in the epistle to the Ephesians, it's certainly of Pauline inspiration. The accent is falling on the unity of the church. So a great effort made to cement the unity of the church as the body of Christ. And as well as that, a very powerful incentive among the people under the inspiration of this letter to live lives that are holy and worthy of their calling. And it's there that we get this wonderful example in chapter 5 of the way that husbands and wives should relate. In fact, it is probably unique in this respect, that while it doesn't say that wives should love their husbands, though it does say that husbands should love their wives, at the same time, everybody should have mutual respect in the body of Christ. And so, therefore, the way that husbands and wives should mutually relate is so presented there that it makes a fundamental feature of the way that people live as fellow believers in the body of Christ, therefore of supreme importance, and has been, of course, used as a model since for the way in which Christ's love of the church should be the way that people should love each other.
Yet, there is even a third reason for the importance of Ephesus to the whole of Christianity.
And then there's another reason, and this is considerably later, but of course no less important. And this is for the Council of Ephesus, which took place in the year 431. Now, this particular council gave us forever the title of Theotokos, because it defined Mary as the Mother of God, the great inspirer, if that is the correct description of him, was Cyril of Alexandria. And he was fighting the Nestorian heresy. And whereas Nestorius wanted to call Mary Christokos, in other words, that she would be the mother of Christ, and that was to diminish the nature of the person of Jesus for Cyril of Alexandria. So they had this famous council, and the Council of Ephesus gave us this title, Theotokos.
Cyril of Alexandria carried the question of Mary's importance into his preaching.
Now, Cyril, in that particular context, also preached very powerful sermons on the meaning of Our Lady. Two that stand out. One is on the question of the marriage feast of Cana. How important Our Lady must be if she were able to have such influence on her son that he actually inaugurated his public life with a miracle of that caliber. And the other sermon that he preached, also of seminal importance, was on the relationship between the beloved disciple and the mother of Jesus when Jesus is dying on the cross. Son, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. So that had a powerful effect to make Our Lady in Ephesus a person who was very much venerated there. Now, I'm not sure whether that is the origin of the shrine, which still is there in Ephesus, which commemorates Our Lady. But at least you can see that these are three major reasons for seeing Ephesus as of, shall we say, fundamental importance for the understanding of the faith as it has come to us from the primitive period of the Church's developing history.
The Council of Ephesus was supremely important for the Church in both the East and the West, something of enormous ecumenical value then and today.
Now, this is of great ecumenical importance because all of the major facts and dogmas of the Christian faith were effectively defined in the Greek language and before the Church had moved, so we say, seriously to the West in the way that it has now. But what we mustn't forget is that Cyril of Alexandria and the then Pope in Rome, whose name was Celestine, they in fact were very much in harmony with regard to that doctrine. And so that would be, I think, of ecumenical importance. One will realize that there was an ecumenical experience in defining the doctrine of the faith, again, what was taken to be against heresy. So the East and the West were meeting very, very happily, at least for the point of view of orthodoxy, in Ephesus.
So it's doubly significant that the Pope is celebrating with the Patriarch in Ephesus while he is there.
Oh, I would think it's supremely important. Of course, the Patriarch lives in Istanbul now, and the Patriarchate is sort of a very small island of Orthodox believers in a great sea of Muslim faith, and to be able to meet in Ephesus with everything that that evokes for the nature of the Christian faith itself and its articulation must have symbolic force. And the Pope, as you know, is himself a person who is a patrologist. He therefore has specialized in the theology of the fathers of the Church. He will know this and be sensitive to this in a way that, of course, makes the ecumenical dialogue ever more genial for the people who engage in it, because they're speaking the same language and they know the background extremely well.
And it's a place that is so sacred to both.
Well, that's right. I can't say what the nature of Ephesus is as a place of pilgrimage for Orthodoxy. I do know that as far as it is possible for Western Christians to go there, and especially for Western Catholics with their devotion to Our Lady, they do go there. I've only been there once myself, and it is a shrine that, at least I was there 40 years ago, it was modest enough, but all the more evocative because it was still there despite the passing of the centuries. And to find now that it is being visited by the Pope as part of this major effort that is now being made towards the unification of the Church through relationships with Orthodoxy, of course it has to have a great evocative significance for those of us who are watching it very carefully.